He's Lord over life. He's Lord over death. He's Lord over humans. He's Lord over demons. He's Lord over the devil himself. He's Lord over principalities and powers. He's the Lord over yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Jesus is Lord of all. He's King of kings and Lord of lords, and He's our Savior. Listen, one day, He writes here, one day, every tongue, I'm talking about those under heaven, I'm talking about those in hell, I'm talking about the Hitlers, I'm talking about the all the heathens of all times, they will bend that knee. They will confess with their tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Listen to me. You either confess Him as your Lord now willingly, or you will confess Him as Lord unwillingly on that day. So Jesus is Lord.
That is Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. We are going to learn about the Lordship of Jesus Christ today. You can find out more about Sharon Baptist Church or come join us. Get directions on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. We're open on Sunday mornings. That's tomorrow, 10:45. We hope to see you there. We're a loving church. We've got lots of space for you. Come and see us. 10:45. Address is on the website, or 2628 Shady Lane Avenue, right here in Concord, Kannapolis area, near Wyckoff Elementary School. We do live stream those services on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. But we'd love to have you come join us. Well, here's Pastor James Strickland.
You ever asked God for something and He said no and you were disappointed? Then you had to come back later and say, Lord, I'm just so thankful You said no. It wasn't probably good for you. You didn't need it, and it would have been a detriment to your spiritual health, and God saw in His wisdom to say no. But I'm so thankful sometimes He says yes too, doesn't He? Amen. Yes, He does. I'm going to share a message about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Turn with us, please, in the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, and share a message about the Lordship, or a look at the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, verse 1. Paul writes, and it says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen for the reading of that precious word. You know, I know there's nothing that God could ask of us to be or to do that we would do for Jesus that He's not worthy or that's not due Him. All that we could ask or think or do or be is so far short of what He's worth, isn't it? Because, you see, He is Lord. The Father, God the Father, made Jesus Lord. He has a right to have all rule and all rights and relationship and rule over us. Let it be the most far-reaching thought in our minds that Jesus Christ is Lord. Most people don't have a great idea of what it means to have Jesus Lord of their life. So it's with urgency that I approach this subject here with us tonight in talking about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? What does that mean to you when you say Jesus is Lord? In the New Testament, we're taught we're under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. One who has ultimate authority over us, has a right in our lives to rule over us, a right to everything we are or have been or evermore shall be. So, with those kind of thoughts in mind, I want to share two major thoughts and trains of thought with you tonight. First of all, I want you to look with me at the claims of Jesus' Lordship and then the challenge to us of Jesus' Lordship. First of all, the claims of Jesus' Lordship. In that verse number 10, it says, "At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." If we better understood the real lordship of Jesus Christ, we would better understand what New Testament Christianity and New Testament discipleship would really be all about, wouldn't it? And the demands that are on us as Christian disciples. So look at with me the claims, some claims. I'm sure there's many more than I can share here, but there's five particular claims that Jesus has as Lord, as His Lordship over us. Notice what He claims. First of all, Jesus claims all authority. Now we understand somewhat what authority is. Parents are given authority over their children to rule them, to guide them, to help them. A commander or a general has been given authority over the troops which are under his command. We'd understand that. We know that an owner has authority over something which he possesses. These are legitimate authorities. They are properly constituted authorities over us. There's real authority. So Jesus has even greater authority over us than any that I've mentioned here. Listen, Jesus has real, ultimate, legitimate, proper, constituted authority over us. No one has more authority over us than our Lord Jesus Christ. So He claims authority over us. But notice something else He claims. He claims supremacy. Even all through the Old New Testament, the Caesars, the Roman Caesars, were called lords. In Acts 25, Festus calls Caesar my Lord. Listen, Jesus has the supreme title of Lord, ruler over heaven and ruler over earth. Didn't He say Himself in Matthew 28, "All power or authority is given unto Me both in heaven and in earth"? So He claims supremacy. He claims authority. But notice something else. Jesus claims in His Lordship, He claims deity. If you look through all the, probably the Bible as well, the whole New Testament, probably the Old Testament too, all the gods that you find in the New Testament, Old Testament, they're looked at as lords. We need to see Jesus in the New Testament as Lord. But Jesus in the New Testament as Lord refers back to Jehovah from the Old Testament, so the two being one. So Jesus, the Bible says here, thought it not robbery to be called equal, to be equal with God. He is equal. He's co-equal in eternity. He's co-equal in future eternity. He's co-equal with God. So He claims true deity. There's no other real God than Jesus Christ. So that makes Him Lord over all that we are have. So He claims authority. He claims supremacy. He claims deity. But in His Lordship, Jesus claims reality. Jesus was the promised one from all the way back in the book of the Old Testament to Genesis 3. He was promised to be the Savior who would come, the anointed one, the Messiah. Jesus is that Savior that's promised all down through the Bible. When you say Jesus is Lord, we move from Jewish religion to Christianity. We leave the Jews behind, so to speak, and you call him Jesus Lord. Do you know the Orthodox Jews of today still do not understand? They don't confess Jesus Christ as Lord. They don't look at Jesus Christ as the supreme authority. They don't look at him as a Savior, the anointed one. They're still looking for the anointed one to come. Listen, Jesus is the anointed one. He is the one who's prophesied all through the Old Testament and realized in reality in the New Testament. He's our Savior. When you say Jesus is Lord, we've left Jewish religion. We've left emperor worship from the New Testament. We have left pagan worship all down through the years. In fact, we've left all other religions. When you and I say and confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, we've even left the whole world behind, haven't we? This is a reality for Christians and Christians alone. We claim Jesus, this historical figure, who was born of a virgin, lived a sinless, perfect life, went to the old rugged cross and shed his blood and died on the cross and was buried in 3 days, rose again, lived on earth for some days and went back to heaven and is soon coming back for us again. This same Jesus that was born in Galilee, who's been known to come from Jesus of Nazareth, this is the one who's Lord. He is Lord of all. Let me give you some examples of his lordship. He's Lord over nature. He can calm the winds, still the storms at the even sound or very voice that he has. So he's Lord of nature. He's Lord of all creation. The Bible says nothing was created except it was created by Jesus and for him and for his honor and glory. So he's Lord over nature. He's Lord over creation. He's Lord over time. Time present, past, and future, as far as we're concerned, but all time is in the present tense with our precious Lord. He's Lord over time. He's Lord over eternity, eternity past, as well as eternity in the future. He's Lord over life. He's Lord over death. He's Lord over humans. He's Lord over demons. He's Lord over the devil himself. He's Lord over principalities and powers. He's the Lord over yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Jesus is Lord of all. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. And he's our Savior. Only because Jesus is who he says he is that he can be my Savior. He couldn't be my Savior nor yours if he were not an all-sufficient Lord of all. So Jesus' claims to be Lord are legitimate. They're constituted. They're real. He is the one who has all authority, all supremacy, all lordship is in his hands. That being true, and we confess him as Lord, our Lord, then that brings us to the second thought I want to share, is the challenges that come to us from our Lord and his lordship over us. Now listen, Jesus is Lord whether you believe it or not. Jesus is Lord whether we accept it or not. Jesus is Lord whether we receive it or not. But Jesus is Lord. God the Father made him Lord. So all we can do with that being true is to accept him, receive him, believe him, confess him, and yield our lives to him. Many kick against the lordship of Jesus. The Apostle Paul did. He'll tell you himself. And Jesus said to Paul on the Damascus Road, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, isn't it? So Saul kicked against the lordship of Jesus until he met him face to face. Listen, one day, he writes here, one day, every tongue, I'm talking about those in heaven, I'm talking about those under heaven, I'm talking about those in hell, I'm talking about the Hitlers, I'm talking about the all the heathens of all times, they will bend that knee. They will confess with their tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Listen to me. You either confess him as your Lord now willingly, or you will confess him as Lord unwillingly on that day. So Jesus is Lord. You can't be a Christian if you don't confess and recognize and receive Jesus as Lord. Romans 10 says you've got to believe Jesus is the Lord. Listen, Jesus said to the New Testament people in the New Testament when he walked here in the flesh, he said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I command you?" Why do you call me Lord and don't do these things? Well, it's not enough for us, beloved, listen, to just take off our hats or send out our handshakes and say, "Well, Jesus is Lord." We recognize that. More is expected of us than that. So what is the challenge to his lordship in your life and in mine? What's the expectation here? First of all, notice this. It's the expectation of Jesus that we give ourselves to him without any reservation whatsoever. Romans 12. Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is a good and perfect, acceptable will of God." So God expects us to give ourselves wholly to God through Jesus Christ's lordship in our life. When you give him your life, yourself, you give him your body. That's what he's talking about in Romans 12. Listen, it's not possible to give yourself to God without really giving him your body as well. Listen, our bodies are the gateways of all the things that come into us and all the things that exit us in our lives, is it not? Our eyes, for an example, our ears, our mouth, our hands, our feet. When they're given to God, the world can't enter those eyes. Those eyes are given to him to only look at good and godly things. If you give him your ears, those ungodly things, you don't need to hear those things because these ears are given to the Lord Jesus to hear godly things, the truth, for the glory of God. Bodies given to Christ will not allow the old nature to rise up within us and take control of us and to control us again. They can't rule us. We can't allow that to happen. If you give your body to the Lord Jesus, when the old nature rises up, then the eyes say, "Can't see that. They belong to God. Can't hear that. That belongs to God. Can't say that. That belongs to God. Can't do that. My hands, my feet, they belong to God. I'm on mission for the Lord. I've given my body to the Lord. I'm wholly, totally his." And see, that way the old nature can't rise up in us and claim victory over our lives. So then, the way of entrance and the way of exit from our life is protected by the lordship of Jesus Christ. So give him your body. Have you done that yet today? Have you done that in your life? If you haven't, you need to do that immediately. So it's an expectation of giving ourselves to the Lord and his lordship in our lives. But there's a second challenge here I see. It's a presentation to him for service. Romans 6:13 talks about giving or yielding your instruments. That's parts of your body. Yielding your instruments as instruments of righteousness. That means service to the Lord. Do you realize God has plans for us? God has plans for you. God has plans for me that transcends time as we know it down here. Listen, he plans for us to serve him since we gave our heart to him, all the days of our life, and he plans for us to serve him in perpetuity forever and forever and forever, transcending the time as we know it today. Listen, those who profess to serve Jesus, who say they have presented their bodies unto him, those who profess to give all to God and do nothing for God are living a lie. They're living a lie. You can't give your body to the Lord and your members not be actively engaged in service for him. Sacrifice in service Look at Jesus' example. Jesus gave his life in service even unto death, Paul writes, even unto the death of the cross. If you give your eyes in service for the Lord, if you give your mouth, your ears, your hands, your feet, your whole body in service and mission work for him, listen, your feet walking on mission for the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people claim the lordship of Jesus Christ in their life, yet they never lift a finger spiritually to do anything for the Lord. That's a lie. That's living a lie. Sacrifice of our bodies includes now an activity of the instruments or the parts of that body. God wants a living, vibrant, breathing sacrifice. He wants our bodies on the altar for Him. When you do that, here's what you do. When you come to that point in time in your life and you give your life to Jesus' Lordship, you ask, Lord, here's my eyes. What do you want me to do with them? Lord, here's my ears. What do you want me to hear? Lord, here's my mouth. What do you want me to say? Lord, here's my hands. What do you want me to do and work for you? Lord, here's my feet. What do you want me to do as far as working in missions for you? If we don't do that, listen to me, if you don't do that, then you rob God of what's rightfully His in our lives. So you see, the challenge is to us to expect us to give ourselves, expect us to give Him service, and then there comes a dedication of our soul. God doesn't expect through Christ some mechanical obedience expected. That's Phariseeism. Pharisees always bragged of how spiritual they were. Oh, we keep the law. We got all these 600 laws. They were liars. They didn't keep them anyway. Sort of like our rules that are being made today by our politicians, and I'll just pass on quickly. It apply to everybody but them. Listen. Pharisees bragged about tithing. Oh, we tithe even down to the little bitty mint and cumin and things of our kitchens. We tithe everything we have to God. We stand on the street corners and we wear these phylacteries on our wrists and on our arms, and we brag about how much we love the Lord, and we brag about this and brag about that. You know what Jesus said about them? Call them hypocrites. They don't lift a finger. He said, though, you will do this. He said, you'll encompass all the world in heaven to make one convert to your way of doing and make them twofold more of a child of the devil than you are. Hypocrites, he's call them hypocrites. Call them what they are. He said they're play actors. Listen, any attempt to possess the thought that I've given Jesus my all without putting your heart and soul into it is not dedication of the soul. People even preach, Brother Jim. Preachers do that. No heart in it, no soul in it. Just a job. Singers sometimes, Pam. They sing with no heart in it, no soul in it. People teach with no heart in it, no soul in it. Jesus deserves a better service, kind of service than that. He deserves all of our energy, all of our time, all of our resources, our soul, and everything that we are. That's the way He served. He wants us to serve, doesn't He? Like He served. Didn't Jesus give it His all? He did. And He expects us to do the same thing. So many people only want to do what they think they can just get by with in the Christian life. Just do the things that just may be kind of expected of us and really required of us, like attending church. Well, the preacher gets on us for not attending church. We ought to attend church. I feel like a sense of duty to attend church. Listen, you ought to come to church because you love God, because you want to be there. The desire of God's in your heart to want to fellowship with God's people and worship the Lord and hear the Word preached and sing the hymns and feel the Spirit of God moving and working in your life, and do it because you put your heart and your soul into it. Many people are spending their lives without pouring out their lives for the Lord. His disciples saw it in Jesus' life. I wonder if we've seen it yet in our lives today. Are we keeping ourselves intact, or are we pouring out our lives for the Lord? Jesus poured out His life unto death, even the death on the cross. Let me close with it's a worldly example, but it gets to the point. I read a story many years ago, a story about a Chinese potter. He worked all his life making pottery, and he was always searching for that particular color in some of his pottery. And he worked and he worked and he worked and gave it all that he had as long as he could. And he finally got so frustrated because he could not get the color that he wanted, the hue that he expected, he threw himself into the furnace and gave himself as a sacrifice. And in that giving of himself in that furnace produced the color he had always been searching for. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying he accomplished in death what he never could accomplish in life. If we die as that corn of wheat to ourselves, God will bring forth from us under the lordship of Jesus Christ. He'll bring forth a new color to your life, a new hue to your life, a new glory for God the Father and God the Son. When Jesus is recognized as Lord and surrendered to Him wholly and fully, and give Him His rightful place in our lives, we'll take on a new hue. We'll take on a new color. We'll take on a new glow, a new glory. And it will be to the praise and honor of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. And we know, Lord Jesus, that we fall so far short many times of allowing You the true lordship in our lives that You want and deserve. So each of us must ask for forgiveness. Ask to cleanse our heart and cleanse our lives, and help us, Lord, to recognize anything in our lives that might be held back from the lordship of Jesus, and be fully, wholly, totally given personally today, that You might be the Lord of our life as You want to be. And indeed, You'll bless us, and You'll make us a blessing to mankind. Thank You, Lord, for being willing to be our Lord. Help us to be willing to be a servant and have Jesus as Lord of our life. We ask in Your blessed name. Amen.
That was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. We're open on Sundays at 10:45 and also Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. So the Lordship of Jesus Christ, is He Lord of your life? This is serious. Time is running short. Today is the day to accept Him. And there's people kick against Him, and people don't yield, and people make these false confessions. You know, hey, I'm going to say a prayer, ABC, I'm done. What about making Him Lord of your life, like you said? Following through. You know, the Holy Spirit will help you do that. All you've got to do is come to Him in prayer. It's not a willpower thing, like I'm going to do it on my own. Come to Him in prayer. Get on your knees and spend time alone with Him. It's not a waste of time. But you can't give God your body without active service. And it's not mechanical. Remember, where's the heart and soul? You ever seen somebody go to a concert and they're like, "Wah!" What about God? You ever been that way about God? Well, you can find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. Or, of course, we live stream our services on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord, 10:45 on Sundays, 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. We'll see you here next week. God bless you.